May the hope to which God has called you, the power of God at work in Christ, and the spirit of wisdom and revelation be with you all. Let us pray. Almighty God, your sovereign purpose brings salvation to birth. Give us faith to be steadfast amidst the tumults of this world, trusting that your kingdom comes and your will is done through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated as we listen to the word proclaimed.
A reading from 1 Samuel. On the day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to his wife Hanan and to her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave double portion because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. Her rival used to provoke her severely, to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on year by year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Therefore, Hannah wept and would not eat. Her husband, Elkanah, said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why is your heart sad? Am I not to you more than 10 sons?" After they had eaten and drunk at Shiloh, Hannah rose and presented herself before the Lord. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. She made this vow, "O Lord of hosts, if only you will look on the misery of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a male child, then I will set him before you as a Nazarite until the day of his death. He shall drink neither wine nor intoxicants, and no razor shall touch his head." As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying silently, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, "How long will you make a drunken spectacle of yourself? Put away your wine." But Hannah answered, "No, my Lord, I am a woman deeply troubled. I have drunk neither wine nor a strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation all this time." Then Eli answered, "Go in peace. The God of Israel grant the petition you have made to him." And she said, "Let your servant find favor in your sight." Then the woman went to her quarters, ate and drank with her husband and her countess, and was sad no longer. They rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord. Then they went back to their house at Ramah. Elkanah knew his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. In due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son. She named him Samuel, for she said, "I have asked him to the Lord." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read Samuel. Responsively, Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exalts in the Lord. My strength is exalted in my God. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in my victory."
There is no holy one like the Lord, no one besides you. There is no rock like our God.
I talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from my mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed.
The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble gird on strength.
For those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry are fat with spoil. The barren has borne 7, but she who has many children is forlorn.
The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up.
The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low. He also exalts.
He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth
He will guard the feet of his faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness, for not by might does one prevail.
The Lord has his adversaries shall be shattered, the Most High above under heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the power of his anointed.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son,
and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from Hebrews. Every priest stands day after day at his service, offering again and again the same sacrifices that can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since then has been waiting until his enemies would be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified, and the Holy Spirit who testifies to us for after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts. I will write them on their minds." He also adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, my friends, since I have the confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from the evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is habit for some, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be? And what will be the signs that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs." The Gospel of the Lord. A couple weeks ago, I was working with one of my colleagues who was filling out her final papers preparing for ordination, and she was writing her approval essay, these papers that one has to complete before ordination. And it's quite a daunting task to look at your past, your all of your successes, your failures, your strength in ministry, and to try to not really convince, but try to let the church know the gifts that you have to offer. Well, it's a difficult task, time-consuming, when you're doing it in English, but I was helping a woman whose English is not her first language. She speaks Chinese. Betty Chen, actually Chinese is her second language. She speaks Taiwanese first and then Mandarin, and English is her very distant third language. So it was a very difficult day, a time, but also a struggle. And by the end of the day, Betty was feeling pretty depressed. She was a little unsure that anyone reading her work, her papers, answers to those questions, would know what she was talking about, that what she really had to offer wasn't going to be recognized. And I thought about Betty and about so many others who have that feeling of depression or of just not being sure that others can see the real truth. And I thought of it when I was reading this story about Hannah. And, you know, poor Hannah, she tried to be productive. She tried to be a faithful wife, but she was not able to have any children. And her rival for her husband's affection constantly ridiculed and antagonized poor Hannah, and she was getting more and more depressed. But she was not about to sit and focus on her weakness. When we are misunderstood or ostracized or rejected, maybe we should follow Hannah's example. Listen to verse 9. After they had eaten and drunk at Shiloh, Hannah rose and presented herself before the Lord. Well, maybe I should tell a little background. Elkanah was a very wealthy man, and he loved Hannah. He loved her very much. But at that time, it was a great disappointment to a husband and to a wife if they would not have any children. And according to tradition, it was allowed that Elkanah could take a second wife without giving up his first wife. He didn't have to divorce Hannah. He could bring another woman into the household so that they could have children. So Elkanah did as the law allowed, and he married Peninnah. And she started having kids just like that. And that wasn't the worst thing, that as she started having the children, she took on an attitude. The name Peninnah in Hebrew means jewel or pearl. Well, she was anything but a gem, I'll tell you. She was so mean to Hannah. She was always deriding her, teasing her about the fact that she didn't have any children. But the most difficult time for Hannah was when they made that annual pilgrimage to Shiloh to go to the temple for their time of worship and sacrifice. You can just imagine how difficult it was for Hannah at home, having Peninnah always on her case, teasing her, ridiculing her, but now they're in public. You can just hear her. Oh, there she is, the barren one, the mother of none. It was not a time for Hannah to look forward to this time of pilgrimage and prayer. It must have been very difficult for her to even get the energy to pack up and leave to go on this annual journey because she just knew what was going to happen. She knew how difficult it was for her emotionally to have to be there and put up with this. But she went. And this year, the story that we get in today's scripture, it was just as usual. In fact, it was worse. Elkanah would go into the temple and make the regular sacrificial prayers and offerings, and then he would bring the food that was offered in the temple, the food that was given at the temple. He would bring the food out to the family. And he brought food for Peninnah and for her children, and he brought food out for Hannah. Gave her a double portion. I'm sure that didn't go unnoticed. Oh, why are you eating for two, Hannah? It's not like you're pregnant or anything. Never have been, never will be. You know, Peninnah would never give up. And then she got the worst cut of all. God has cursed you. Peninnah used that phrase and said to Hannah, even God doesn't love you. You're not even in God's circle. You've been excluded. Hannah couldn't take it. She wasn't able to eat. She was upset. She was crying. Her husband tried to console her. He says, Hannah, why are you crying? Why are you so sad? Why aren't you eating? Don't you know that I love you? Aren't I worth more than 10 sons to you? And then, you know, sometimes this happens to me. You say that one phrase extra that you shouldn't have said, you know, like bite my tongue. And Elkanah adds one more line. Just because God has cursed you, why did he have to say that? She breaks down into a terrible crying and weeping. In fact, she can't stay at the table anymore. So she gets up. Hannah rose and left. We don't know for sure where she was going, but she just could not stay at that table any longer. She decides to go to the temple and to pray. Her tears and her anguish are so profound. Listen to this prayer. O Lord of hosts, if only you would look on the misery of your servant. Remember me. Don't forget me. If you would give me a child, I will set him before you as a Nazarite until the day of his death. He shall neither drink wine nor intoxicants, and no razor shall touch his head. So she's striking a bargain with God. God, if you give me the blessing of a child, I will give him back to you to be a blessing. You bless me, and I will return that blessing immediately. Hannah was praying in such deep anguish. There she was, sitting in the temple, sobbing. The priest saw her and thought, this woman is crazy. She must be drunk. So he goes over to her to reprimand her. And he says, woman, get a hold of yourself. Sober up. Put away your wine. And she says, no. I'm not drunk. I haven't had anything to drink all day. I'm just praying. I'm just beyond consolation. She says to him, I am not PUI, praying under the influence. Well, actually, she was PUI. She was praying under the influence, not of alcohol. She was praying under the influence of strong faith. Well, Eli was also under the influence of strong faith. He saw in her that faith. And he says to her, go ahead and leave, because God has heard your prayer. God will grant your petition. He saw in her that strong faith and knew that God was going to hear her prayer at long last. Just imagine her joy. We just sang or prayed together that shout of praise that she sang on her way back when she left the temple. We prayed that as the response to the reading. My soul exalts in the Lord. Can just imagine her running and skipping back to the Super 8 or wherever the family was staying while they were at Shiloh for their annual visit to the temple. Scripture says that she sat down, finished her meal with her husband, was filled with joy, and it says she was sad no longer. The next day on their way back to Ramah, Hannah just had this feeling, everything is different. Things will be different now. She felt like a new person. She just felt that her prayer was going to be answered. Those encouraging words of the priest kept ringing in her ears. She felt that grace was working in her. Her faith had given her hope. Nothing had changed, but she had hope that indeed everything would change. And indeed it was. Hannah's prayer was heard. The priest's words were fulfilled, and Hannah got pregnant and had a son, and then another, and then another, and then another, and then two girls on the top of that. She had, like Peninnah, when she got started, she was there having children, giving, being fulfilled in that traditional sense of what was so in that culture, a blessing of God. In Hannah's year after year sadness, for all of those years that she was married and unable to have children and being ridiculed constantly by her husband's other wife, she was filled with hope now. She saw that God was at work. Even looking back, God was at work in her time, her year-to-year sadness. But it was on God's time, not on Hannah's timetable. God was bringing good things to birth in God's time. You know, God is at work in our year-to-year lives as well. Whether we see God's work or not, God is even at work in our sadness and in our grief. God is at work in us even when we're going through stuff we'd rather not be going through. God is there in our suffering and in our difficulty. And that can be the birth of something new. That can be the birth of something vital. So what do we need in order to walk through these times of difficulty, through the bad times? How can we continue our faith walk when we hear bad news from the doctor or when we get laid off from our job? How do we approach the Lord in prayer when we can't seem to find any joy in our hearts? Well, I think we can look to Hannah to be an example. We need patient hope in order to wait for what God is going to bring to birth in us. We need patient hope in order to be willing to wait for God's time and God's timing. We need patient hope that is willing to wait for God's answer to our fervent prayer. Now, patient hope might not be a very thrilling virtue, but it's a necessary virtue if we're going to continue on our journey toward God, with God, in all of the times of our lives. So encourage one another with these words. We heard them in our second reading today. Let us hold fast, tight, to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who has promised is faithful. Amen. Oh, my friend Betty Chen is going to be ordained next Sunday afternoon. Betty is from Taiwan. She has been in San Diego about 20 years and has been a member of the Taiwanese Lutheran Church in Panaskitas. And in fact, they're getting a new pastor, a Taiwanese pastor, next week as well. But Betty was a member of that church for a good number of years, and she saw the need for a Chinese-speaking congregation in San Diego County. So about 5 years ago, she started a Bible study and met with three or four, actually there were six people that met for in speaking Mandarin, and did a Bible study for about 6 weeks. And they got too big for a house, and they started meeting at St. Mark's in Chula Vista. And 5 years, less than 5 years later, they are worshiping every Sunday at St. Mark's Church, and the average attendance is 85 to 90 people. They have service in English. The sermon is in Mandarin, but the service, because the second generation children, of course, speak English, so they do a blended service in English and in Mandarin. And Betty will be ordained by Bishop Fink, and the community will gather next Sunday, and she will continue her ministry there with an ordained pastor at St. Mark's. So continue in your prayer as well for one of the newest congregations in our synod. Then, after Betty's ordained, they can become an organized congregation and be a part of our Lutheran body as well. So that's next Sunday. I get to go and do the prayers. I'm trying to learn a word in Mandarin so that I can invite the people to pray. I want to say the Lord's, let us pray to the Lord. So I'm trying to learn that in Mandarin so I can be a little accessible. Our sermon hymn is not the one that's printed in your bulletin. So if you'd please take your red hymnal and turn to number 638.